Timothy chapter 3. And I just feel a message on my heart today and just want to obey the Lord. And I just love His Word. Amen. I get entrenched in it and get lost in it. And that's why some people can sit down and read the Bible through real quick. It takes me a long time because I'm a chain referencing type guy and I end up chasing a subject so far. I just love studying the Word. Amen. I love knowing what God's wanting to say to us. And I feel like He wants to say something to us this morning as well. Amen. If you're there, just give me a good amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading in verse 14. This is what it says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make these wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, notice that, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished with all good works. Amen. Look at that verse 16 again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on a fresh look at the good book. A fresh look at the good book. We look at this today and we would know that Paul is writing to Timothy, his son of the faith. And we would know that Paul, being that great apostle he is, and not only do you have to know who he's writing to and who the author is, but you also need to understand the day that they are living in. At this time, King Nero is believed to be on the throne. It's right here near the greatest persecution that they will ever face underneath the Roman government. We would know about, you can read throughout Nero's reign where he would take Christians and he would dip them in wax and would light them on fire and he would sew them into animal skin, different things they went through there. But Paul begins writing in chapter 3 here, and he begins to talk about many different things that we can recognize apostasy. And what apostasy really is a straying away of the true faith in Jesus Christ. He begins to talk about this. He says this in verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." How many believes we're living in perilous times? Amen. You can look around and you can look at such as Ebola. We talked about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school. The Bible talks about noisome pestilence. It talks about sicknesses. It talks about wars and rumors of wars. It talks here about men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, oh my, unthankful. All these different things Paul's talking about here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But then he comes and he begins to talk about the Word of God. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because I am worried about a very casual approach to the good book, as we would call it. The Bible. I hope you have one with you today. But that Bible there, those 66 books that we have put together in the English language there. I want to talk to you today about a fresh look at that good book. Because I have seen a trend throughout the very movement in Christianity where a lot of people have gotten away from the Word of God. And I'm not always talking about compromise, but I'm talking about quit preaching it like it's supposed to be preached. I've had people tell me before, "Brother Derek, there's no need in reading and trying to study all that Hebrew and Greek." And really, I say, yes, there is. We need to know what the good book really means. It's not my personal opinion. It's not how you were raised. It's not always what granddaddy believed. It's what does the Bible tell us and what is relevant for this very hour? Because the Bible is a very relevant book. What I mean by that is the Bible in America is just as good as it is in Russia. And the one in Russia is just as good as it is in America. The Bible is absolute in every continent, every place it ever gets in the hands of a human. There is potential there to see an opening up, an opening door into the kingdom that is holy and divine and unshakable. And I love this good book that we're talking about today. But the Western culture has kind of diminished this book, you know. And look, I'm not somebody here today that's trying to hark on this or hark on that. But I would say this today, when I go into a Christian book, bookstore and I look around at all the different perversions and all the different things that are going on, I would understand today that there's a great need in the hour in which we live to get back to this Bible and what it really means. Hear me today, friend. I began to do a little study this week on the underground church in China. And because in the beginning of November, if you don't know this, it's called the Natural Day of the Persecuted Church, where the church can pray for them. But I would begin to do a little study on that underground church in China and begin to think about the different things and obstacles they go to when they come to a house of God. They don't even have churches. A lot of times they may gather in a house or gather underneath the ground to worship God. And sometimes I read that they can't even really worship God. They can just whisper. Oh my, think about that. They can just whisper, but even among their whispers, they see a mighty move of God. Hear me today, friend. That persecuted underground church, I begin to study on the Bible aspect of it. And there's countless stories of believers here, my friend, sitting up for hours just wanting to get hold of the Word of God. I read about one missionary that went over there. And he went over there and they began to ask him, "We want you to preach this meeting tomorrow." And so he said, "Yeah, I love to preach it. What time do I need to get there?" They said, "You need to get here at 8:30 in the morning." He said, "Okay, what time does the service usually end?" He said, "They said around 7:30 at night." He said, how long do you want me to preach?" He said, "The whole time." And then they said, "As soon as you can come back, maybe a few days later, if we can reschedule another meeting." He said, "You know," they said, "can you come back? And we want to do the same thing." He said, what do you want me to teach and preach on?" They said, "Everything." He said the very first service he went to and he began to preach about the unction and the anointing. And he said he looked around and began to notice nobody had a Bible but him. And he said he began to realize the reason that they were so hungry for the Word is because they had no access to the Word. Hear me today, friend. I want to talk to you. I counted in that office the other day. I counted probably 20-something Bibles. I could go to my house right now and pull Bible after Bible off shelves or through dresser drawers. My Lord, we have become so accustomed to having a Bible in our hands. My friend, once again, do not be indifferent to this book. But my Lord, I wish we had the same hunger, the same desires, that underground church, that we say, "Preacher, let's schedule a meeting where you teach us the things of God. Let's schedule a meeting where you show us eternal life, where you can talk to us about keeping your heart pure." Once again, church, we need to get a fresh look at the good book and we need to fall in love with it again. I have a page here to a Chinese Bible. That's what this is. Came through the mail. And what this actually is scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. I just read it to you, but it's in Chinese. I can't do that, brother. But I do understand this today, that many of them, I begin to read about some different preachers, and they would, some of them have died just trying to get their hands on something like this. Reach over there and grab your Bible. Look at it for a second. Sometimes we take that Bible and we have to wipe that fresh coat of dust off of it occasionally, don't we? I mean, I hope you don't, but sometimes you can probably spell your name on the dust on it. Hear me today, friend. What I'm trying to get you to understand is this. There are men that are willing to die just for one page of a Bible, and we have access to an abundance of Christian literature. I want to make sure today you have a good, fresh love for His Word. Because hear me, if all of a sudden today I was to confiscate all of your Bibles, rip out one page, give it to you and says, "Live on it, get sanctified and make it to heaven, good luck." Could you take one page of the Bible and could you make it to heaven? Hear me today, because there are many folks in foreign countries in the underground that has one page of the Bible, and not only are they serving the Lord, but they're living an overcoming life and they're willing to give their life for Jesus Christ, when those that are in America have access to literature and Bibles and they're not even willing, my friend, to go a day of fasting, to go a day of prayer, to go a day of supplication. Something's mighty wrong, my friend. We need a fresh look at the good book this morning. I'm trying to challenge you, friend. We have access to an abundance. In America, there is no excuse for us not to have revival. There is no excuse for us not to have a moving of God's Spirit. There's no excuse for us not to want to be in the house of God and hear His Word. Because hear me today, friend, we have an openness, we have an abundance of it, and we have all freedom here today that we this, because this has been on my heart. The reason here the Bible begins to talk to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this. He was saying, but as for you, in chapter 13, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. He was letting them know, look, friends, you need to continue in His Word. It's not enough just to have a preacher to tell you what to do. It's not enough just to come to Sunday school and hear of a message occasionally. But it says you need to continue in that book. You need to make sure you're going forward in that book. You need to make sure you're living that book. You need to make sure that you have a love for that book. He tells Timothy here, continue in what you have learned and what you have firmly believed. What do you know about the Lord today? Think about it. And on accordance to what you know, how much of that what you know is put into an activity? I'm ashamed. I'm just being honest. We know so much. We have so much abundance. But do we continue in this, my friend? We must understand this today. That word continue or stay there, it means to remain in, stay in. It's the idea of being in the Word of God and not leaving the Word of God. My Lord, we take vacations from it occasionally. We need to live in the Word. The Word isn't something you get in and hop out when you don't want to be in there no more. You are to live every day in this book. And what I'm saying is, you are to believe it and live it. You are to be inside of this book, and your life is to align with this book on the knowledge that you have, and do not leave it. He says, continue in it. We've got to stay in the book, my friends, today. The idea of this is this. You read in verse 13, it talks about this, the verse before I read to you. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But then he tells him, but continue in the Word. He's saying there are some that are being deceived. There's some that are leaving the good book. But he tells Timothy, even though there are people departing from the faith, even though there always is a Demas that will forsake of Paul, he's saying, look, but you need to continue in His Word. Continue in His Word. We look at this today, we also must understand this. The idea of this, and the reason we should continue in the book today, my friend, is this. We look in verse 14, it says this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. One reason today we are to continue and believe in the truth is this. It is because it came from reliable sources from which we learn it. Here today, most of you, most of the adults in this congregation, Brother Glenn was your pastor for many years, and I'm sure he's a man that taught you the Scripture. I know that. We can tell. He taught you the Bible. He taught you the Scriptures. But just like that here, Paul's telling Timothy here, he says, but continue knowing of whom thou hast learned them. See, look, you know you learned them. You know you were taught them. But it's up to you to continue in them. All of us have that starting point. Many of those of you who are born again have a place in your life. You knew somebody had taught you the Bible. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. For Timothy, this was probably his mother and grandmother. We know in the Bible. He talks about his mother and grandma raising him in the faith. And he's telling him here, recall that and continue, because you were taught the Bible and you were instructed the Word by somebody that was a reliable source and cared for your well-being. I have a Bible from my great-grandfather, my mom's granddad, who was a pastor. You know what I love doing? I love taking that Bible and looking at the inscriptions on it. I'll turn the page so-and-so. I may be reading the book of Isaiah. And I see granddaddy took an ink pen up there and wrote something. And every time I read those things, inside of me arises a hunger and a desire that says to myself, I must continue in this Word. I must continue to go forth. All of us have maybe a Bible somewhere, something you can look to. The point Paul is making is this, that the reason for Timothy standing his ground in truth is because he learned from a reliable source. The second reason we need to stay in the Word and continue in the Word is this, the marks of divine holiness is in Scripture. It says this, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Writings is what he's saying here. Do not forsake the Scriptures of your youth, Timothy, because they bear the marks of God's holiness. This is a holy Bible. Amen. I guess my wife was raised. You didn't even set them on the floor. When we first got married, I didn't mean nothing by it at all. And we were in a second story apartment, so we weren't really on the floor. We're two stories up. I kid with her. I set it down on the ground. She said, pick that off the ground. I said, what? I didn't think nothing about it. But instilled to her, not saying my mom didn't instill respect in me, respect for the Word, but instilled to her as a young child. Her granddaddy said, you don't lay a Bible on the ground. Nowadays we think that's crazy, don't we? But in their end, that's a good thing. In their mind, they look at that Bible as the holy written Word of God. This isn't something, I hope you don't use this as a coaster to put your drink on. I hope you don't just set it. It just bothers me sometimes. I've been in a place and there's a DVD on top of the Bible and it burns me up. I said, my word, putting a movie on top of the Bible. And you said, no, it does matter to me. This is the holy Word of God. And we must treat it with reverence. We must understand the holiness of the writings refers to the divine quality. They are separate and different from other writings in this world. There's no other book in the world like this book. There is no book in this world that has the same holiness. You can take the Quran and it doesn't even hold a hair to this. You can take the writings of Buddha. You can take a biography by a president. None of that amounts to a hill of beans when it stands beside this great book. This is a holy book. It bears the marks of the divine author and the Holy One of Israel. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for His author. And thank God for His holiness. Amen. It's a holy word. I heard they came out with a Bible called the Message Bible. And somebody gave my grandmother one. I looked through it and I thought to myself, that is so deluded. Talking about it, it made it sound like Jesus was a hippie or something. And you say, Brother David, no, that's not silly. What I'm trying to say to you is this. We have to be careful that even that our Bibles adhere as close as they can to the holiness of God's original Word. We have to make sure that. We cannot dilute it. We cannot mark it down. We've got to make sure the Bible is saying what it's supposed to say. Looking at this today, not only is it marks of holiness in the Bible, but we must also understand this. The reason we have the Bible today and the reason you should respect the Bible is because the Bible has the power in the Scripture to lead sinners to Jesus Christ. You would tell you why you're saved today? Yes, the Holy Ghost dealt with your heart if you're saved. But where did the Holy Ghost lead you to? He led you to a place that somebody could expound the Word to you. You know, I worry about people get saved and don't like the Bible. Preaching's boring. And my word, they can sit down and watch stuff. I thought, I read something one time that says preachers nowadays need at least only be 20 minutes because their congregations' attention spans are now diluted down to where a sermon should be no longer than 20 or 30 minutes. I thought to myself, my God, a sermon should not never become a sermonette because sermonettes will make Christian nets. Sermonettes will begin to dilute it down. Next thing you know, we have no time. It's amazing. You set up a tent out here in this field and say, we're going to have a Southern gospel singing. We're going to have this singer. We're going to have this singer. We're going to have this singer. You'd be surprised how many hundreds will show up. Set a tent out there and say, look, we're going to have a good old Bible study on how to have revival and get back to the will of God. Oh, you're lucky to get 20 people. Amen. Come on now. You know I'm telling you right. You know I'm telling you the truth. If you hear me today, friend, we got more than one service. Amen. We believe in teaching God's Word. There's enough filth that'll come to a mind in 1 week, enough lies that'll come off a TV or through the internet in 1 week. My God, the least thing we can do is have 3 services of truth a week. We've got to make sure we are abounding in truth and in the holiness of God's law. It says this, in that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. He was saying here, one of the ways we come to trust the message is by the power it has to change people in salvation. In this case, Paul reminds Timothy that the Scriptures give a kind of wisdom that leads a person to salvation. Thank God for good preaching that sticks by the Word of God. Yes, somebody, how was service? It was pretty good, so-and-so preached. What did he preach on? I don't know. But then you ask him, how was service the other night? Man, we had 2 songs and no preaching. It was great! Look, there's times God's going to move, friend. Hear me. There's times I'm afraid to try to go a different way than the Spirit's going. I want to say, Lord, you have your way. But you know God's greatest dealings? Yeah. You say, I wish the Holy Ghost would speak to me. Read your Bible. He did. And even when it comes to sin, say, you ever heard somebody say, I'm going to give this sin up when God speaks to me. But then they don't read the Bible. There's some things God don't have to say five times. God wrote it one time. That's all He's got to say. You read it and God just spoke to you. This is the Word of God. So this brings sinners to salvation. That's why Romans 10 and 17 says this, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Aren't you glad today to know that your faith can be increased even in the service by simply somebody preaching the Word of God? There's an unparalleled power to preaching that when you open a Bible, the Word goes forth, the Word finds place in your heart, and it's up to you as an individual, not a preacher, not a member of the church, for your faith to be activated and for you to respond to the Holy Written Word of God. We read a story in Acts chapter 8 about Philip in Samaria. He does mighty miracles there, but there was a eunuch, which is an Ethiopian. He's sitting, he's a heathen's what he is. In Acts chapter 8, we know the story there. Philip comes, I'm just going to put it in my own words. Philip comes up there, there's a chariot there, and that heathen's sitting on that chariot, and he's reading some of the scriptures of the Old Testament. I believe it's in Isaiah, and he's sitting there, and he makes this comment right here. All of a sudden the Bible says this, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read of the prophet Isaiah, and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And you know what that man said back to Philip? He said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him in the place of the scripture when he read. Long story short, Philip began to open the scripture to him, all because this man had the word in his hand. He was a heathen. He was somebody that was probably respectable. But all of a sudden, Philip went there, opened the Bible to his mind, and we read of that man going forward in the kingdom of God. I wish somebody again would say, Brother Derek or Brother Glenn, or can you come explain this to me? New converts, I wish they would do that. Can you come explain why you do this or why y'all do that? Can you explain this to me? Hear me today, friend. Because if we reject the Word today, there is no hope for us. Do you not remember that story in Luke chapter 16? There was a rich man and there was a poor man named Lazarus. We know the long story. The rich man died and he went to hell, and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. We read of that story in the Bible. And as that rich man is there in hell, he's talking to Abraham. He says something like this, send Lazarus that he can go tell my father's house and he can tell my brethren pretty much not to come here. You know what Abraham said back to him? Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. You know what he's saying? If I was going to send a man, if I was going to let Lazarus go there, he said, I'm not going to waste my time. They've got the word. Hear me today, friend. You know what your prayers ought to be directed towards? Not that an angel will visit a lost loved one. Not that some divine revelation would happen. But all of a sudden, once again, somebody will pick up a Bible and somebody will begin to read it and begin to understand what the Word really says, and that the Scripture is too holy. That's what we need again. We need people to pray that somebody will get back to the book. I love hearing about somebody in not the situation, but how it ends up. Somebody in a hotel room, about to overdose on drugs, reaches over and pulls out a Gideon Bible and begins to pray through in a hotel room. You know what it is? They found the Word, and the Word brought faith. Hear me today, friend. We must also understand this, is that all Scripture is breathed of God. Verse 16 says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means here today, this is one of the most important statements in the Bible. All Scripture is God breathed. It's God inspired. We usually say something uniquely, and not like we might. When we say something about being inspired, we talk about somebody being inspired to write a song or somebody being inspired to do this. But when it's talking about the Bible being inspired by God, really it means, that word inspired there means it was breathed by God. It's not talking about all of a sudden somebody got inspired to write this down for the fun of it. People get inspired all the time, even to do dumb things. You don't believe me? Get on YouTube. People are always doing stuff and they say, well, I just looked at so-and-so and I felt like doing it. It's not talking about being inspired in an earthly sense. It's saying that the Bible is literally, it's breathed on by God. It is the very words of God. It says this, we believe that the Bible is God speaking to us directly. It's not coming at us from another angle. Yes, a prophet may wrote it, but the focus is on the writings and the Scripture and the inspiration. The manual of our church says something like this. I'm just putting my own terms. We believe the Bible is inspired and infallible. Believe God inspired the original text of the Bible. That's what we believe. And we must still believe that today, my friend. He's telling Timothy here, he's telling Timothy this. We believe that the Bible is consisting of the inspiration that our God breathed. Timothy, continue on what you have learned and believed, because the holy writings your mother, your grandmother had taught you are the very words of God. Now this is what I want to talk to you about right here. There, we must understand that all preaching that is God-inspired. Now, I know there's a bunch of crazy preachers out there. But all preaching that is God-inspired is one voice. Let me explain it to you. Now, I'm not talking about this mess you see going on in this world. This worldly mess. But I am talking about that one divine voice. We are in the process here, even as a church. Y'all as a church and us, we made a transition. Brother Glenn, to me. But it's one voice. It's the same Bible. He knows that. We know this. It is one Bible. And we all know that. And the only reason I'm saying is this. It doesn't matter where you are. If it's God inspired, it's one voice. It's always from the voice of God. It's not the person, it is God's voice. But the divine voice sounding from the pulpit or on the streets or wherever is exactly the same when it is God inspired, for His Word never changes. It is fixed forever, and the Scripture is forever God breathed. Brother Glenn could get up here and preach today and God use him. It's the same message. Somebody could come. We're going to have a guest minister next Sunday morning. He'll come here. He preaches. Good man of God when he preaches. It's one voice. It is one voice, one Scripture, one Bible. And finally, we must touch on this, and I won't hold you too much longer. Finally, it says the Scripture is profitable. That means it's worth something, church. Amen. Hear me. You hear what I'm saying? All right. Some of you look like you got two. I got two heads up here. This is profitable. This should be something that feeds you. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The God-breathed Bible aims to make us godly. Oh my. You're saying, Brother Derek, it's not to make me happy? No. Happiness is a part of godliness. Hey, come on now. You know why God gives you the Bible? To make you godly. And in your pursuit of godliness, God's making you happy. And the reason you're getting happy is because you're becoming less more like your original self. You know who makes you unhappy? Yourself does. You can't blame it on nobody. You make your own self unhappy. It's bad when you don't want to live with yourself. Amen. But we understand it, and the Bible makes us godly, and godliness brings us happiness to make us doers of good in this world. Do not miss that. The doctrines of the Bible are designed to produce good deeds, and they do it by teaching us, and by correcting us, and by reproving us. That's what it's saying here, that the Bible is profitable, first and foremost, for reproof. Reproof is this, that our errors are pointed out and we are stopped in our tracks. It's saying all of a sudden if you're heading down a bad road, the Bible is profitable enough that it will stop you and it will correct you. You ever been corrected by this? All the time. God, you read this every day, it'll keep you in line. Amen. It reproves you. Not only does that, but it corrects you. That is, we are turned around from a harmful way that we are going and pointed in the right way. But not only that, I like this, but it says it is instruction for righteousness. Not only does it reprove you, not only does it correct you, but it trains you. Amen. A little quiet out there. Trained. You read this Bible, it'll train you. I walk into Petco's, a dog store, you know. They got a big section in there where they train dogs. And it, all of a sudden, you see, I watched a woman, and I think half of them are crazy. But what I'm saying, the instructors, and they're sitting in there, and all of a sudden that woman said, you know, the guy told his dog, he said, you don't need to bark. She said, no, you said that wrong. You don't need to talk to him in that tone. You need to do this. And I thought to myself, I know there's a way to manipulate a dog and get him. Look, I got one. I know all about it. You give him a treat, you can get him to do anything. Hey, man, he'll jump off a roof for a dog treat. But you can go in there and you can learn to train your dog. But what worries me is this. Man, this world's good at training dogs, but they do a sorry job at training human beings to be righteous. They can tell you how to train a beast, but there's only one thing that can train that beast nature of yours. They can teach you how to train a dog, but there's only one thing that can train you and get you into heaven, and it is the divine, inspired Word of God. This is the only thing that can make you righteous. It's the working of the Holy Ghost through the blood of Jesus, through His Word, that makes you righteous. Amen. You ain't got to climb Mount Sinai, my friend. You read this book, you'll be all right. Conform to this book. You ain't got to make a pilgrimage. You ain't got to try to earn your salvation. Then it goes on to say this, that the man of God be made perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is what we must understand today, that God is striving to make you perfect in all good works and to furnish your life with good things through His Word. Now let's get down to the honesty part of it, and I'll leave you alone. Have you been reading this book like you should? Hey, I'm talking to you up here. Have you been reading the Bible? Now that you say, look, yeah, Brother Duck, I read it. I do. Are you applying the Bible? Come on now. I know. I see people struggling trying to listen to the Word in church. I know you have trouble with that TV on. Hear me. I'm just being honest. There ain't nothing wrong. You can turn. You've got your hobbies and things you enjoy to do. But what are you doing with your Bible is what I'm trying to ask you. What are you doing with it? Are you applying this Word? As my wife comes to the piano, and not only are you reading it, but my friend, apply it. Let it become a part of you that you can be made perfect. In the book of Psalms 19 and 10, it says this, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, much more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Talking about His Word. It's a sweet book, my friend. And if you don't find the Bible sweet, you might not be saved. I'm just saying. And I don't mean that. I'm just saying. When I was a sinner, I couldn't stand to read it. I'm just being honest. When I was a sinner, I tried. You know, I said, I'm going to do better. I ain't going to do this no more. And I'd go get my Bible, and I'd get to one chapter, and I'd say, oh, my word. I don't know what to do here. I didn't understand that. You know, and I started saying, I don't understand it. I ain't reading it no more. But when I got good and born again, like I've told you before, the first time I picked my Bible up when I got back, about to go to this October retreat, when I got back from that October retreat in 2000 something, I forget when it, but when I got back, I read two whole books of the Bible and loved it. Let me tell you why. Because His commandments was not grievous to me anymore. Sometimes we don't read the Bible because we know it's opposite of what we're living. And look, you can go to a Christian bookstore and find a book that believes what you believe. I know that. But I don't care what author so-and-so wrote to make you feel good. I don't care what song you listened to that made you feel bubbly. What did the Bible do for you? You got to do more than pick up an inspirational novel and say, I feel like a Christian today. Pick up the good book. When you read this, if you still feel like a Christian, I think you got it. I don't mean to sound hard or tough, but I just speak to you as God speaks to me. When I pray, God deals with my heart. I think to myself, I looked at this Bible the other day and said, God, forgive me. If you would stand to your feet. Stand to your feet all over this building. We're just going to ask God to help us.